enshrined in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to Spouting Off. If you're listening Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern, you're listening live, and you can call in 603-816-1590, particularly in this first segment where I get to spout off. At least that's our setup right now. And my goal for the new year, among other things, I have a lot of goals for the new year. They're not resolutions, they're just goals, is to have more audience participation from all of you, to build our numbers so that people will call in and give their opinions, spout off, if you will. Spouting off is a good thing because you want to speak out without censoring yourself. There's so much emphasis on daring. God forbid you should offend someone with your opinion. But when you speak out and say what's on your mind, and you don't mind if other people disagree with you, you don't mind if other people tell you you're cracked, as long as they don't try to force you. How do you force someone to think something anyway? I've always wondered that. That's America. And that's how you preserve America, is by preserving the whole spirit of debate, dissent, disagreement, and the clear awareness that ideas and words are not dangerous. Violent actions are dangerous. Right now, we have an inverted system in which everything America ever stood for is the opposite of what the people in power are pushing. Speaking of power, there is a little bit of a new power in town, and that is a mere 20 people in the Freedom Caucus who weathered hatred, viciousness, even from their own fellow Republicans who simply wanted to conduct business as usual. It is such a great thing to watch that 20 people could make a difference. And if you were one of those people who said, oh, it's embarrassing to disagree, it's embarrassing to have floor debates, we just want organized tyranny, not disorganized liberty, then you're living in the wrong country, ladies and gentlemen. That is what has been missing, is fair, honest, open dissent and debate, and an awareness of what the limits of force is all about in these United States of America. Let me just backtrack here one second, and that is that Biden was said to have exclaimed, it wasn't a good look for the Republicans to be fighting about the speaker. Who would the speaker be? Because after all, the Democrats always put forth a look that is designed for public consumption, that fits their narrative, that has been orchestrated and manipulated and propagandized. They don't want the chips to fall where they may. They want to stack the deck. So it wasn't a good look. Now, I'm of the opinion Joe Biden did not come up with that on his own. That was another canned response by the whomevers who handle Biden, who tell him what to say, because he can't even find his way out of the White House bathroom. And we know it. Everyone knows it. It is like the emperor has no clothes and everybody is running around pretending that Joe Biden is clothed when he's not. He's clothed in handlers who tell him what to say, and he can't even read a teleprompter. My, oh my, has the bar lowered to the point of the ground. But here's my comment, even if Biden did think of it, which I don't believe he did. So it's not a good look for Republicans to actually entertain debate, to argue, to bargain about whether they're going to vote for a hack politician, namely Kevin McCarthy, who wouldn't have made one iota of a change. He's part of the swamp, and yet 20 people forced him to give the kind of concessions that could actually make a difference. Am I circumspect about that? Yes, I am. How come the whomevers who had Biden saying that it wasn't a good look to have disagreement on the floor of the House of Representatives in the United States of America, when that has been the tradition for hundreds of years, used to even be the tradition in Parliament, where there were avid debates and discussions, not a look and an appearance of, oh, we're all in agreement because we're all marching in goose step. How about that look on October 1st that the whomevers orchestrated for Biden? And when he did his impression of a communist dictator in front of a blood red black background and declared war on more than half the country, calling them semi-fascists. He declared war on more than half the country. And because I like to judge people by their actions and not just by their words, except when war is declared on more than half the country, ask yourself if the policies coming out of the Biden administration do not bear out that they have it in for more than half the country. They've called parents domestic terrorists. They now are at war with your gas stove. They're going to continue to hinder you, lock you down, scare you, manipulate you, divide you from your family and your loved ones with their propaganda. We ain't buying it. And evidently, the 20 people in the 20 representatives who had the guts and the temerity to weather the hostility, the dislike, the, oh my God, people don't like me. Even Sean Hannity, who now has done a complete 180, he's clearly lost all of his credibility, or if he ever had any, he's lost most of his credibility because he puts his finger up in the air and decides what's most popular. And after going after Lauren Boebert from my former home state of Colorado, who was spectacular in keeping her cool when he went after her more than he might have gone after a Democrat for daring to disagree and daring to hold a hack politician, even if he had an R after his name, their feet to the fire in the name of Kevin McCarthy. And now Hannity has done a complete turnaround. All of a sudden, he's being much kinder and gentler. Do you trust him? I don't. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Sean Hannity. Let's talk about the good news. Most people, and including yours truly, are not really well-versed in the nuts and bolts of House procedure, okay? I deal in pretty big issues most of the time, and I admit when there's a lot I don't know or understand. However, I love listening to the experts that we have on this program, and sometimes the most honest thing you can say is, I don't know or I don't understand. However, Ross Vogt, and his name isn't V-O-T-E, but V-O-U-G-H-T, is pretty good at this sort of thing. And he is jazzed about what the House Freedom Caucus was able to accomplish. He says it's huge that the Rules Committee made changes that would hold these hack politicians' feet to the fire. So much so, believe it or not, that he thinks that more of those hack politicians are going to want to join the House Freedom Caucus. And I would say if they didn't pay the price for standing up when it wasn't easy, I'm not going to trust them. I'm going to welcome them. Yes, welcome them to the fold. But remember who had the courage to stand up and take the heat. That's what's required to even have a chance of recovering this great country to its wonderful and important principles. You already heard in the news, Chuckie Schumer is still accusing Republicans of having billionaires, over which the 88,000 IRS agents, which the House just voted to defund, because they do control the purse. And that's not going to say too much because $1.7 trillion was passed right before Christmas, right before the outgoing House, so that they could bankrupt the country. Schumer doesn't want to talk about the true billionaires, and that's the billionaires on the radical left. He doesn't talk about the billionaires like, there's a gazillion of them. Actually, there aren't a gazillion of them. George Soros, Michael Bloomberg. They have many more billionaires. Yes, do Republicans have billionaires? Sure. But most of them are hack politicians, part of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They're not some of the 20 courageous people, the likes of Andy Biggs, Dan Bishop, Lauren Boebert, God love her, Josh Brasheen. I'm going to tell you all their names if I have time. Michael Cloud from Texas, Andrew Clyde from Georgia, Eli Crane of Arizona, Byron Donalds of Florida, Matt Gaetz, God love him, of Florida. Call these people, tell them you appreciate them for standing up for everyday people. They didn't stand up for the millionaires and the billionaires. They stood up for you and I. Paul Gosar, Andy Harris, Andy Ogle, Scott Perry, I don't have time to name them all, Matt Rosendale, Chip Roy, Keith Self of Texas, many in Texas and Florida. This is what every individual who you and I are on the front lines of standing up for our country. We want our country back, and we are under attack and losing it. So what they did is what we need to do. Karen Cataline, we have a couple of super guests. Can't wait to tell you about them when we get back. You're listening to Spouting Off, and don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I want to jump right ahead to our very first guest. Let me make sure I have his information here. Every time I do this, I think I have it and then I don't have it. So playing for time here for 1 minute. This is a person who is, talk about, has courage. He has enormous courage. His name is Robert Spencer. He's part of Jihad Watch, and he has been doing things and speaking out in courageous ways more than as much as anybody ever. And I'm just going on what I have because all of a sudden I lost all my notes. The joys of computers, isn't it? The joys of computers. Welcome. We have him on the line. Welcome, Robert Spencer, to Spouting Off once again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always good to talk to you, Karen. Thank you.
It is great to talk to you, too. And I apologize for not giving you as fair an introduction as I should. I have
That was terrific.
Followed...
That was great. I wish I had it recorded.
I've followed your career for a long, long time. We've met a few times. You are talking about something that I can't wait to hear more about, and that is... There's just numerous strategies that the left is engaging in, and one of them, you say, is to provoke a civil war so that they can take over. Talk to us about that, because people are talking about this at their dinner tables, but they may not have the awareness you do, and then let's mix it up a little bit on that.
Okay. Well, the main idea of the book, The Sumter Gambit, that is available now at conservativereaders.com, is that the left is trying to goad patriots into fighting a civil war. And whether they succeed in that or not, they're trying to pretend that they're already doing it, that conservatives and patriotic Americans are already up in arms and in rebellion against the U.S. government. We saw this on September 1st, 2022, when Joe Biden made his infamous speech in front of the red and black background with the Marines behind him. And he said, Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent a threat to the very life of the Republic. Now, that was an extraordinary statement. There has never been an American president before who said that his principal opponent and his principal opposition, essentially half the electorate, were essentially enemies of the state. But that's what Biden said. And once you have insurrectionists, enemies of the state, threats to the life of the republic, then the next step is to start arresting them and rounding them up. And this is the idea, that the Biden administration is actively pursuing the criminalization of political dissent in the United States.
Absolutely true. I mentioned that in my monologue, although I was under the impression that the speech was October 1st.
So it was September 1st, I remember, because that was the anniversary of the beginning of World War II when the Nazis invaded Poland. And I thought, man, could the administration be more obvious in what it's signaling, that they were going to war?
Yes. And as a person who happens to be Jewish, to watch the scapegoating of a group of people for the purposes of persecution, suppression, and possibly even arrest, the signs were unmistakable and chilling to see. Robert, we're talking to Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, author of The Sumter Gambit, How the Left is Trying to Foment a Civil War. What's a Sumter Gambit?
Well, in the history of the United States, the Civil War started when the Confederates fired upon Fort Sumter. The Confederates said that Fort Sumter, the fort outside Charleston, South Carolina, belongs to them. And the Union said, no, it doesn't, and we're going to reinforce it. And so that was the beginning of the Civil War, when the Union tried to reinforce the fort and the Confederates fired upon it. The left is today trying to find its Sumter moment. And there are all kinds of ways that they're looking for it. They're trying to provoke a situation in which they can claim, however falsely, that patriots are rising up, and that will be their excuse to crack down with more authoritarian measures against the so-called insurrectionists.
So then the obvious question is there ever a time when, and I do not in any way advocate violence or anything else, but if they're trying to provoke it, does that mean it should be off the table because of that?
Well, I do think so, yeah. There might come a time down the road when we have to fight to preserve our freedom, but at this point it would just be to resort to violence, which I don't endorse either, would just be to play into the left's hands, because then they could say, you see, they really are enemies of the state. They really are insurrectionists. Yeah. They really are trying to overthrow the government. All the things that they've lied about in regard to January 6th, they would say, see, this new thing shows that we were right all along, and they really are trying to overthrow the United States government. So there are all kinds of ways, recourse we still have, that we can fight back in other ways that are short
right.
of that.
And as I say, I don't advocate in any way. I know a lot of people who think a civil war is coming because of the usurpations that we have seen. But are we in other ways playing defense when we change our behavior? Not saying civil war, but when we change our behavior because we know that's what they're provoking, then don't they win either way? If you say, I'm not going to say this because that's what they want me to say, I'm not going to do this because that's what they want me to do, well, you know, then you're playing defense and you're playing their game in a way.
Well, I suppose you could say that, but when it comes to violence, that's a very big step.
A very different thing.
That's a bridge too far. But right. I certainly do not think that we should kowtow to the left in any way, shape, or form in other ways. And people are waking up now. It used to be, actually, that far too many people on the right, if the left started to say that somebody was beyond acceptable discourse, beyond the pale, beyond what ought to be allowed, then altogether too many people on the right would just say, oh, okay, and have nothing to do with them. I mean, this is something
yes.
that I've experienced for years, because I've been writing against jihad terrorism. And the left decided that the way to stop that was to claim that people who were opposed to jihad violence and Sharia oppression of women were Islamophobic, and that was the real problem. And to all kinds of people, I could give you names, but I don't want to start blowing up on my own side. But all kinds of people just fell into line and started talking about Islamophobia and having nothing to do with those of us who were resisting jihad violence. And
exactly.
to play the game of the left like that is foolish in the extreme. And this is something that we have to get over and stop doing.
I couldn't agree more. You're just one of the great, courageous people out there. I so respect you and your work. This gives me a chance to maybe ask a more nuanced question that I've always wondered about. And you're the perfect person to ask. Right now, we see a major direct attack on religious freedom in this country. Especially, we've always seen communists and tyrants who always put down people of faith first because they revere something greater than government, God. I have expected that the Islamo-fascists who have a political agenda as well as a religious one out to claim religious freedom. And how would you answer the distinction, the distinction between religious freedom that people think, well, you know, it's okay to have a religion that says, you know, if you see a Jew behind a tree, kill him, or America is a little Satan, and religious freedom in this country, and peaceful Muslims too, who simply want to practice their religion and be left alone.
Karen, this is an extremely important point, and thank you for raising it, because there's so much confusion on this issue, and there are so many people in America who would say that we cannot transgress against religious freedom, and that to resist jihad violence and Sharia oppression and Islamic anti-Semitism, as you noted, would be to infringe upon their religious freedom. And I think, well, did the founding fathers really consider the religious freedom provision to be some kind of get-out-of-jail-free card that gave you some unlimited right to break all the other laws if they were in accord with your religion, if they were not in accord with your religion? I mean, it's ridiculous. If the founding fathers never envisioned a religion that called for violence against unbelievers and that called for female genital mutilation and all the other things. I mentioned female genital mutilation because there were actually a couple of doctors being prosecuted in Michigan for that a couple of years ago, and the case was thrown out by a leftist judge who said this is their religious freedom. And I think if that's religious freedom, that's crazy. What about the rights of the little girls whose lives are destroyed in this regard? This is absolutely unacceptable to think that religious freedom is some license to break existing laws. And that's where it ends.
That's the best answer ever that I've heard. And I think a lot of conservatives need to hear your answer because they get confused. I mean, we've been indoctrinated so much that we're kind of knee-jerk about certain things. Religious freedom means you get to practice your own religion. And isn't it interesting? There's an inversion because the left wants to empower and enrich Islamo-fascist nations, and they want to go after Christian and Judeo-Christian religions who are peaceful. What's that say about the current state of affairs?
Oh, absolutely. And the left loves Islam because it lends itself to authoritarianism. And so when we're talking about the left wanting to institute an authoritarian government and silence legitimate opposition and crush dissent, that's why they love Islam, because Islam lends itself to authoritarianism and crushing dissent. There's never been a democracy in the Islamic world except Turkey, and Turkey was built on a rejection of political Islam. And so when we talk about Islam, we come up against Muhammad saying, obey your ruler, even if he's an Ethiopian with a head like a raisin. Now, that statement has often been quoted to show that Muhammad was racist, and that's fair enough. But it's more than that. It's a license for authoritarian government, that you just obey the ruler no matter what. And so, of course, the left loves Islam and dislikes Judaism and Christianity, which foster the rights of the individual because they speak about the dignity of every human person.
Yeah. Can you imagine them doing to large groups of Muslims what they've done to Christians? I am originally from Colorado, and, you know, force a Muslim baker to bake a gay wedding cake, to create one, a unique artistic wedding cake. And they tried it and it went nowhere because there are different rules. Just what you said. Let's come full circle because we only have about 4 minutes or so. the January 6th thing, I can't help but think, and before the whole dog and pony show, which was so preposterous, they always play defense when there's no offense there. It's like they're not spiking the football. I wish I had a good slogan for what they did, claiming that there was all this insurrection. Obviously, it was a plant besides, but they're it's like they're proclaiming to the entire country, you better not express your opinion because you'll be put in solitary confinement for 2 years and you better just shut up and play along.
Exactly. Yeah? That's the whole idea, that we should be afraid to express any dissent from their agenda because they are trying to portray any dissent as being a sign that you're not a loyal constitutionalists, that you were trying to overthrow the government and so on. And so this is just underscores what we were discussing earlier about why it's so important not to fall into their trap and play their game.
Exactly. Tell everybody where they can find you, follow you at Jihad Watch, and also your new book, The Sumter Gambit.
Yeah, thank you. I'm at, like you said, jihadwatch.org. which is dedicated to giving the news about jihad that other places do not report. And the book is actually available at conservativereaders.com. That's conservativereaders.com. It's not at Amazon yet. It'll be there in a few days, but you can order it now at conservativereaders.com, The Sumter Gambit.
You know, that is great. I have not heard of that before. We got like 60 seconds, a little bit less. What is Conservative Readers? I bet people want to know about that too.
Yeah, it's a new thing that Post Hill Press, my publisher, has started to try to get out of the Amazon trap and to allow for the showcasing of books that Amazon, of course, has been spiking and sometimes removed altogether, certainly de-emphasizes.
Yeah.
And so
you want to
find books that are in line with the point of view that patriotic Americans generally hold, then conservativereaders.com is your site.
Exactly. And boy, have we needed that because the censorship has permeated everywhere. Robert Spencer, don't forget the name, Robert Spencer, jihadwatch.org. So courageous. Always continued good health to you, and we appreciate you so much.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah, take care. All right. Well, we have another guest. I'll tell you about him when we get back. You're listening to Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me, and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off, and you can tune in to Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can go to www.wsmn.live to hear it live. And do we have our first guests, Mr. Producer?
Yes, we do.
Yes, ma'am. They say that a lot in Texas. Yes, ma'am. I love it. Well, I'm delighted to welcome this next guest, also an author of a new book that, oh, I wish he didn't have to write, but he did. It's called The Decline of America, A Cancer Spreading in America. You know it, I know it, and he wrote about it. His name is Wayne White. He's a man who knows about America and the decline of our great nation. If we're going to fix it, we got to tell the truth about it, right, ladies and gentlemen? He has spent a lifetime observing the treachery of communists around the world. As keynote speaker, he has spoken to conservative groups and now has put his knowledge into a book. The information is concise and discusses the infiltration by communists into every aspect of American life over the past 80 plus years. Wayne White, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off.
My pleasure. If I can just say something real quick, I was listening to your commercial on your book, and I was getting ready to watch a movie the other night, and of course it said sexual content and bad language, and I thought how sad it is that we now have to start putting that on the cover of first graders' books. You know? Sad.
Yeah, they would be arrested. These people in libraries are now elevating pornography. I'm telling you, it takes a great deal of intestinal fortitude to watch what's happening. And I appreciate you bringing it up, because to have written about the sexualization of children in such a subtle way as I wrote, and to watch it so brazen and blatant, and the grooming of children, I'm telling you, I have cried, I'll be very honest, cried many, many tears over it. So I appreciate it. And it's all part of this decline, isn't it, Wayne White?
It is. You know, the sad thing is, I was talking to a group Friday night, a large group of people, and one of the things I had to tell them, it was an older group, and I said, part of the problem is that people our age, meaning anybody over about 55, we're kind of to blame, because we have been warned and warned and warned in the, well, actually going back to the early 1900s, but certainly in the 50s and the 60s, we were warned about what was coming on, and we just stuck our head in the sand. That's what's sad. I mean, even Kennedy, who was a Democrat, gave a speech to the Waldorf Astoria to a group of a press club. And one of the things he said is towards the end of his speech is, if we don't control censorship, we're going to end up with a dictatorship. That was in 1961, and we ignored it. We had, and I'm sure you've heard this, Paul Harvey in 1965, who did his great radio thing on If I Were the Devil.
And it's on my website. I posted it on my website. Very important.
It's a beautiful on the mark, thing that he wrote. And I listen to it all the time. The only sad thing is I keep going, he was so right. And then the other thing, there was a book written in 1958, but my congressman here where I live in 1963 entered the 10 goals of communism, or the 10 goals, the 45 goals of communism from that book written in 1958, unanimously into the congressional records, and almost everything in those goals, the destruction of schools, the destructions of the parent relationship to children, degrading the founding fathers. Almost everything in those 45 goals is being or has been accomplished. So we were warned, we just ignored it.
Well, and I want to ask you about that, because as we watch this pall, this dark cloud descend over our country and frankly over the world with global Marxism, it's being done with deception and force and with the kind of propaganda and psychological psyop, playing on people's greatest fears, their worst weaknesses. It's being done with deception and force. Talk about that, because it's right out of the communist playbook. I think a lot of good people simply do not. They want to live in peace. They want to live in prosperity. They want to be left alone to live their lives. And they don't want to think the worst of our government. And this isn't the America that we grew up in and know and love.
Well, you're right. And one of my pet peeves, though, is that we aren't calling it what it is. And everybody uses the word Marxism, and what you're really talking about is communism. Marxism is a philosophy.
Yes.
Communism is the enactment of that. And the problem is, when you say Marxist, people don't really relate to it. But when you say communist, then they relate to Cuba, to Russia, to China, to Venezuela, and soon to be Brazil. They can relate to those terrors, and that's why they do not want you using the word communist. I did something on Facebook. I advertised for 3 days, and the subtitle of my book used to be Communism, a Growing Threat in America. I got 28,000 responses, and every one of them were from a program, because they all said, you're a Nazi, you're a fascist, you're this, you're that. They can't stand that word. And the other day I wrote something and I used the word communism, and it got deleted off of Twitter. And I went back and changed it to leftist, and they published it. So they
And
said,
this is in Elon Musk's Twitter, right?
Well yeah, but he hasn't cleaned it up 100% yet. You know, he's still working on it.
But it's funny you mention it. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say that the thing is, you're right that, in fact, in my book, one of the things I say is that communism is like a seductive lady, seducing the naive and the downtrodden. She's what I call the Bernie Madoff of ideology, promising things she can't deliver. And you're exactly right. If you tell people their life is going to be better and you drown them in that philosophy, they believe it. You know, tell a lie, tell it often, and it becomes the truth.
Well, and not only that, but you make it hip to do that. And it sort of reminds me of Chester the Molester, right? They offer candy to unsuspecting children to get them to get in the car, right?
Well,
and then an iron fist comes out and says, well, now that I've got you where I want you, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the rest of that statement that I have in the book is that once these people have succumbed to this lady, they find out that they have aligned themselves with a she-devil. And the problem is, once a country has turned communist, it's almost impossible to extract yourself from it because of the control.
Well, then let's cut to the chase, because it's interesting. I was going to bring that up, that I'm glad you're using the word communism. It is a cancer. It is the real virus that we've been fighting under the guise of a phony virus in order to get people to give up their liberty willingly. And you are so right. I agree. And it breaks my heart and scares me, honestly, that once a country has gone communist and they sew up elections and everything else, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to go back. In some cases, hundreds of years. In the case of Russia, 70 years. So let's cut to what can we do about it at this late stage of the game?
Well, when I wrote the book, I thought
that will work.
Every day that goes by, I think that there's less opportunity. And the one guy that I think could help is Trump. And in spite of what you may think about what he says or how he says it, the question you ought to ask is, what has he done for me as an American? Because that's the important thing. He's not a politician. He does not have every word that he says run before a focus group. And so he does say some things that even I disagree with. But as far as if I want him to lead the country, then he's the guy, because he has done more for America in the 4 years he was in office. And that is, and the other way to look at it is, who's the guy they are most afraid of and spending their most time and money to get rid of? Trump. Well, that ought to tell you something, that, hey, if he's the guy they don't want, he's the guy I want. So,
Wayne, I couldn't agree with you more about Trump, except that it's everyday citizens that are now on the front lines of this. We are the target. So to put all our faith in somebody who already there are grave concerns about the honesty and integrity of our elections, both in 2022 and in 2020. If we put all our faith in Donald Trump, then we'll lose the country before that, won't we? What else can we do?
Well, who are you going to put it in front of? What? Let me tell you what the ticket ought to be. Then you'd have 12 years of Republican rule. It ought to be Trump and DeSantis, the two most popular politicians, both by anybody in the country. But what you see the Republicans and the Democrats doing is they're going to pit, and I'll make this prediction right now, DeSantis against Trump, and then they win. And they might
that's
win
clear.
Anyway.
Because that's clear, except for one tiny little problem. You could run Mother Teresa and Abraham Lincoln all rolled into one. And if you do not fix our elections, it won't matter.
Absolutely. 100% agree. They need to be fixed. And, you know, coming up is Martin Luther King Day, and you get the day off. And if you're a federal employee, you get paid. Doesn't it make sense that the most important day in America is Election Day? And that should be a paid vacation day if you can show you voted. But otherwise, you're off without pay, because we have, as a country, not only the worst educational system, but we also have the lowest voting participation. It should be a paid day off if you can prove you vote, and it should only be allowed to vote on the day of the election unless you can prove unequivocally that there is a very, very good reason to vote a week before or absentee, such as the military and them being overseas.
The only problem is, if people are so ignorant as to believe January 6th and masks work and lockdowns were great and people who were conscientious objectors and refused the vax are spreading the virus when the exact opposite is true. If you took the shot and you think that you're safe, then you shouldn't be thinking other people are a danger to you. These are lies. These are psyops. I don't want those people voting. I hope they would stay home, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but that isn't going to happen. And let me tell you, in my book, I cover the first, what I call, compliance test. And the first compliance test, believe it or not, was in 2016. Remember the Boston Marathon bombing?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay. There were over 1 million people told to stay in their home. There were 9,000 agents, and the experiment was run by the National Security Association. They shut down airplanes. They shut down buses. They shut down everything, and they had 100% compliance. And that was a test to see if you put out an alert of some type that people believe, will they comply? And then they used it with this virus. But that was the first compliance test. Never have so many people been locked up. The interesting thing is the way they caught the guy was somebody broke that compliance. They got out of their house and found him in their boat.
Just the opposite of what the government tells you. Stay in your home, you get sicker. Go out with sunshine and fresh air, and you might not get sick. So everything they told us was the opposite of what was true, and we're back to deception and force being used to impose communism on this country. Tell everybody where they can find your book, and keep up the great work, Wayne White.
Thank you. It's available on Amazon, either in paperback or audio or ebook, and you can also get it at Books, plural, by H. Wayne White. That's HWWHITE.com. And I appreciate you having me on, and I love your show. Keep up the good work yourself, dear.
Well, thank you. We have about 30 seconds. What do you want to leave us with?
Use the word communism, not Marxism. It scares the dickens out of them. It's their Achilles heel.
Great advice. Wayne White, thank you so much for joining us. Well, my pleasure. Well, I loved this show. I mean, I loved doing this show, but this one was just felt really special to me. So thank you to Juan and Art and everybody and George who makes it possible. We will be back with another episode of Spouting Off this week, Thursday and Friday. Don't miss it. Karen Kettleen will be back, and it's always important to spout off. There's so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.